Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. Today we're going to talk about the Exorcist killer. Paul, what's his name, Chuck?
Paul Bateson, Timmy. Paul Bateson. Master Bateson.
Master Bateson. He was involved with the Exorcist movie, as I'm sure many of you have watched. And he was also a killer. So we're going to talk about all of his dastardly deeds. It's a script, by the way, that was written by our good friend Jason Dykes, who from time to time submits scripts for us to cover. And Jason did this. So we want to thank Jason very much. We appreciate your help. Jason, of course, will be at DweebCon first weekend of October here in Cincinnati, where I believe he will be signing boobies. I think he'll be signing boobies, Colonel.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be doing that with Sharpies, with the soft Sharpies, Timmy, with the soft wide tip Sharpies.
So, ladies, if you
and
would like
I'll be
like
signing
your...
my whole name. Charles, Colonel Charles Beauregard, Reverend.
You fucked up your own goddamn name, you fucking jackwagon. Jesus, suffering Christ.
So you're saying, you know, you have to have something to work with. Is that what you're saying?
Don't be coming to me with a cup, Tim.
Oh my God! Just wait a minute.
That would be most of the guys that are attending DweebCon.
Yeah. Let me just put this out into the world for everyone to understand what's getting ready to happen here. Both of my co-hosts have not slept. One is because of a dog. I'm sure he'll bitch about that here in a little bit. And the other one is just a handful of nerves and doesn't sleep. So that's kind of the place where we're coming from today. I just want to make sure everybody understands.
Well, we're not perfect. We're not perfect people. Near perfect.
Yes.
But we're not perfect.
Well,
people.
Thank you.
But anyway, we want to thank Jason. So if you would like your boobies autographed, show up to DweebCon.
Oh, my God.
And I'm sure Jason will even provide the Sharpies.
That poor man.
You know, Timmy, I think I'm going to get a rubber stamp.
A rubber stamp.
Because, I mean, just to deal with the sheer volume of boobies.
Right.
I'm just going to get a rubber stamp.
Now, will you have to sign both boobs, Colonel?
Well, I think it's only.
Oh, my God. This is. Okay. Tim. Just.
Okay, so. So join us for DweebCon. I don't know the date. I think it's October the. I should know this, shouldn't I?
Probably.
It's the first weekend. First weekend in October.
Yeah.
October.
Like 6th.
The 7th and 8th. Yeah, we'll start on the 6th, which is a Thursday, and then 7th and 8th. So we would love for you to join us in Cincinnati. You'll be there's a live show. And
but come anyway.
It's all free. come anyway. It's all free. Well, I mean, the show is free, but you have to pay for your own transportation.
Quality entertainment.
Hotel and
Also,
vibration.
Noah is playing some fucking game behind me today that he has to just fucking jib-jab about, and I don't have any place else to record. So if Chuck can't clean it up very well, what you hear is, you know, whoever the fuck.
Is he playing online?
Yes, he's playing online, and he's...
Muzzle the boy.
If it was that easy.
Is he recording it for
Tranquilize
TikTok?
Tranquilize him.
Is he recording?
For TikTok?
No, I don't think he's recording for TikTok. I think, though, I'm going to start a YouTube channel where I get stoned and just play the Lego games. I think that would be fun as shit. I'm going to do that later.
People make money. People make money.
Yeah. I think I'm going to do that later. That's going to be my thing. Also, my OnlyFans account for my feet, because they're pretty.
Well, you know, Chuck will be happy to help you set up that YouTube channel.
Oh, God. No, you know what?
We got one set up for our channel.
You know, I want it done in this century, so I'm just going to have Noah do it, because he knows how. That's all I got.
I would like to... remind everyone that we are a comedy podcast. We, at times, use adult language.
Well, that's aspirational, Timmy. That's an aspirational comment.
Oh,
right
that
there.
We're that we're not,
that we're comedy.
We aspire to be a comedy
podcast. Yeah, we aspire to be a comedy podcast. We definitely do have the language.
Yeah.
I would say. That's why we don't have the YouTube channel, because they rejected the devil's vocabulary.
Did not even happen.
I read that that's why Elon Musk refused to buy Twitter, because of he saw son of Brandy.
Oh, shit. Well, that may be. But, you know, whatever. Some people need to be put in their place. So there's that. Don't follow me if you don't agree with my politics, because you will be disappointed. What?
Are you on Twitter?
Oh, I am on Twitter.
What's your handle?
Fuck it, let's roll.
The devil. No.
Right now it's fuck it, let's roll. I had to get cortisone shots in my hands yesterday. Actually, in my wrist.
Why?
So I did not like that very much.
Right.
It was Friday that I got that done. Sorry. It hurt.
Have you been having problems with your hands?
I have. But it's fine. Nobody cares. Can you introduce us so we can get this going, though? That'd be awesome.
Yes. Let me introduce a lady who is... she is a lady who is known as Brandy the Benevolent.
Really, Timmy? Lady?
Well,
that's a generous use of that word, Timmy.
You shut your dirty mouth.
She is beloved by minions everywhere.
Yes.
There's a new Minion movie coming out, I think.
There, it's out.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I will have to watch that.
Of course.
Why are they releasing
Top
Gun again? I mean, it's like...
I don't know, Timmy.
How could he possibly still be in the military when he's like 70 years old?
What in the fuck are you fucking yammering about? How did we go from whatever the fuck you were talking about to this? Minions to Top Gun? Why?
Well, they're both movies.
They are both.
The only way I would see this movie, Timmy, is by mistake.
Tom Cruise freaks me out now.
I walked into the wrong theater.
Tom Cruise just freaks me out now. I can't hardly watch anything with him in it.
I liked him in A Few Good Men.
Yeah, but, you know, that was before he went, like, full teetotal crazy.
He was no Jack Nicholson.
Huh?
Well.
Sonny from The Godfather died this week, Timmy, and I just have you know.
Who?
That Sonny, James Caan.
He did, and so did Paulie
Sonny
Walnuts.
Sonny from The Godfather.
I know. I really hated
and
Paulie Walnuts, Tony Sirico.
I had when I was about 10 years old, Timmy.
Yeah.
I ran into Mr. Caan on an airplane, and he scruffed my hair and said, "Cute kid."
Well,
so he was blind.
I'm sure he's proud how you turned out, Colonel.
Yes.
You probably you weren't even a colonel then.
No, I was just a merely corporal, Timmy.
Yeah.
Just a lowly corporal.
So Leanne and I watched Brian's Song in honor of Mr. Conn.
James Conn.
Billy Dee Williams.
Billy Dee Williams. It was
Lando.
James Conn's first major role. And you know, that was a TV movie. It was a made for TV movie.
Did it hold up?
But it really did. You know, I told her, because Leanne had never seen it. And I told her, you know, I explained to her.
I've never seen it.
Men are allowed to cry at Brian's Song.
There are three movies, Timmy.
Rudy.
Three movies it's acceptable to cry in, if you're a man.
Rudy.
One is.
Radio.
Brian's Song. The second one is Remember the Titans, Timmy.
Okay.
And the third one is Old Yeller, of course.
Rudy. You know, you are you fucking kidding me right now?
Nah, Rudy's not cry worthy. It's not cry worthy.
Oh,
those are the only three.
You can. Men can. I explained to Leanne. Men can cry at Brian's Song, but they can't cry at Love Story.
No,
very similar.
You can't.
I mean, very similar storylines, but you know,
well, because right. It wasn't a football
but
player.
But if you cried
that died.
At,
right.
Sure. Yeah,
it wasn't manly, Timmy. It wasn't manly.
No, it's not manly at all.
What was? Wait a minute.
We watched that last night. And it did hold up pretty well, surprisingly, since it was made in 1971.
Nice.
So it was actually pretty good. So I think we're going to watch Misery today on our Cannes Film Festival. How you like that, Colonel?
Wow.
Yeah. Return of Cannes. Yeah. I think, has she watched The Godfather?
No, neither one of us have. I haven't seen it all. I mean, I've seen parts of it.
Oh, Timmy.
Okay,
I tried to watch it, but it's like really dated.
Again, nope. Hold on. I say this with all the love in my fucking heart, my cold black heart. One and two are perfect. Don't watch three. Three should have never been made. I'm angry at Godfather 3. I choose to believe it doesn't exist.
Now, I'm going
to
disagree with you there.
No, it was terrible.
I'm going to disagree with you
there. It was terrible.
Three was necessary to wrap up the storyline because three, if you go through three, Devil.
Three would have been necessary had it been a better
Michael,
film. But it sucked donkey balls. Donkey fucking balls, dude.
It's about it's about Michael's journey to try to reconcile his past and
let me tell you something.
Basically
when they
cut loose the sins of his previous life as he becomes an older
when they
man.
Shot his daughter on those steps or whatever the fuck it was, you know what? I clapped. I get her the fuck. She was terrible. It was awful. I know she was Sofia Coppola. I get all that. And she had, you know what? It was terrible. Don't watch it.
She's great. Well, she's a great producer, though.
She is. Wonderful director, producer.
What you have to
producer.
Understand, Devil, is... She was never supposed to be in that
Well,
role.
She shouldn't
she
have been.
She was a last-minute addition because Rebecca Schaefer from My Sister Sam...
Was murdered.
She was supposed to be in that role and was murdered.
Okay, I don't give...
So they had to get a last-minute person.
And I can't stress, I don't give a fuck. Three should have been necessary, but it was just terrible. Don't watch
Andy
it.
Andy Garcia in it, so you just shut your whore mouth.
No. Okay, sorry. Yeah. Can we get through introductions and get to this before I can't?
Yes.
Now I'm upset.
Her Majesty, Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy, if at all?
Well, I was fine until Charles decided that he wanted to argue about Godfather 3. So now I'm upset. So that's how
I'm
I am.
Sorry to hear that, Brandy.
Nothing to see
I'm
here.
Sorry to hear that. How has your summer been?
It's fucked up, man. It's fucked up. I'm afraid to go anywhere with my kid. I'm afraid to go out because we could get sick. We could get shot. We could get what? Everything is a dumpster fire, but thank you so much for asking. Let's hear Chuck's petty bitches so that we can just get on with this fucking thing here. Shit.
Okay, well, that was a lot of Brandy time, I have to admit.
It was.
So, let me introduce the man who is known as an oasis
no.
in a desert of despair. Brandy, you mentioned all the upheaval that we're experiencing as a society.
And I'm going to upheaval over this fucking introduction is what's going to happen.
The coming influence, the one bright spot that we have is a little light that never goes out. And that is the light of the current.
That is absolutely fucking not. You know who's the light? There's a guy up in Canada that just films himself dancing. And he wears a turban. And it's really cool. It's bright orange. And that is light and love. And I love that guy. Shout out to that guy on Twitter. Chuck is not that.
Chuck is
a light. Some kind of light that never shone on the devil.
No.
Nope. Do a little I'll be there for
that's
us,
that's a BG.
No.
I'll be there.
No.
Just call my name.
Just ask him how he is so he can I'll bitch.
Well, he's a best-selling author, Brandy.
Fucking not.
How to Make Love in a Woman is still number one for, I think, this is 76 weeks in a row.
Absolutely not.
It's basically the dark side of the moon for books.
Not that.
It is now available in Braille.
In Braille? And audiobooks?
And audiobook. It's soon to be a major motion picture.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Just get to it.
He is a man, a wise man. He is a unabashed.
Is he paying you?
He is an unabashed sex enthusiast, Brandy.
Is he paying you?
Unabashed.
And you don't need to add this to
Are you lovers in the nighttime? Because that's all I can figure out now. Stop.
The very
some
honorable.
People, Timmy, some people call me the space cowboy. Timmy.
Nobody calls you that.
And some people call me the gangster. Look.
Absolutely not. Your wife doesn't even call you that.
The very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III. See, I got his name right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How are you today, Colonel?
Well, I was doing wonderful, Timmy, till that tot had to stop bad-mouthing Godfather 3.
So. Too bad Godfather didn't have a serial killer attached, and we could talk about it next week.
That would be lovely. That would be lovely. But they had a lot of murders in there. I think there were spree killers more than anything else. But
yeah, you Luca know, Brazzi you know that Ice Man. What's the guy? What's the Ice Man's
yeah,
name?
Yeah, I forget him.
He was a mafia hitman, and they classified him as a serial killer, but. I don't you know if you're doing it as part of your profession.
If you're doing it for money.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not. Your heart's not in it. You know.
It's very professional.
You're not keeping souvenirs.
You know, you're
not,
handing out business cards. It's
right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think that's right, Brandy.
I don't care.
I don't agree with the serial killer. He didn't earn that serial killer moniker.
No, I agree. Oh, all right, are we ready?
Timmy, I sang you a little bit of Steve Miller there. The Joker. Some people call me Maurice because I speak, and this word has always been tricky, of the pompatus of love. Do you know what pompatus is, Timmy?
I don't think I'd like pompatus. It if someone calls me Maurice, though.
No, me neither.
I mean, gangster love, yeah. You know, that's cool.
Yeah.
Space Cowboy is even cool.
Yeah.
You don't look like a Maurice.
People call me Maurice.
Isn't one of the Gibb brothers named Maurice?
Yes. The one that sang off key. But anyway, Timmy, this is just to educate our audience. Pompatus always bugged me because I wondered what it meant, and I looked it up, and you know what pompatus is?
Shut the fuck up and...
It's what's called a nonce word. It's a word that is made up for an occasion, for just a made-up word, Timmy.
Aren't all words made up?
Like, say...
Aren't our words made up at some point?
Well, say, like, for... People get engaged. Four women get engaged on a day, and somebody says, oh, today's ring day. Now, ring day ain't really a word. It don't mean anything, but they just made it up for that occasion. It's a ponce word. Remember that. Now, Jason Dykes probably knows this. but I want to educate. You know me,
Tim. Oh, my God.
About making people better.
You are about.
Are we still recording?
So if you listen to this podcast, by the end of this podcast, you will be better than when you started.
Well, I mean.
Yeah, perhaps.
If we ever get there.
And some people will call you.
No.
You are a educator, Colonel. I think that's fair to say. We've all recognized that.
I teach you how to make properly make love to your partner.
I'm going to start reading this script.
The right language.
Because.
Okay, go ahead, Devil. We're ready.
Thank you. Since also a treat, I will be reading the script because I am the only one prepared. So there's.
Well,
that.
I was prepared. I just had.
I don't want to hear your excuses. Paul Bateson.
I'm prepared. I'm just not motivated.
Paul Bateson was a convicted murderer and former radiographer.
Well, which one would you rather be, really? I mean, which one gets you the most dates, would you think?
The murderer.
Yeah, probably.
It would be cool if he was Norman Bateson.
Well.
Yeah, it would be cool.
So from here on out, we're just going to say X-ray tech because I don't want to say radiographer a lot. So anyway, so he appeared as a X-ray technician in a scene from the
19th. We can help you with your pronunciation.
Shut the fuck up. I can say it.
Stuck on the big words.
I can say it.
Okay. I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying that.
I'm just saying, hi, I have the script. You don't. I will come and find you. Stop.
All right.
All right. God damn it. Okay, so he was an X-ray.
Continue.
Son of a bitch. She was an X-ray technician.
I mean, people tune into this podcast because they want the story. They want to hear the story. So please continue.
They want it all.
Well, if you could shut the fuck up for a minute, I could get to the story. This guy was an X-ray tech in a scene from the 1973 horror film, The Exorcist. After the film's director, William Friedkin, watched Bateson perform a cerebral angiography. Jesus shit.
Angiography. You can handle the big ones until it comes to words, can't you, Devin?
No, I don't.
Yeah, there's multiple syllable words.
It's a weird. No, he's got it weird. Anyway, the previous year.
Oh, so blame the writer. That's what we're saying here.
In addition to his conviction for at least one murder,
to Jason.
He was a suspect in several other unsolved killings. Bateson was born on August 24th, 1940, and grew up in Lansdale, Pennsylvania, the son of a, metallurgist.
Okay.
Meteorologist.
A meteorologist.
Whatever.
He was
metallurgist.
The upper radar.
It's a metallurgist.
Oh,
there, suck it.
It'd be cool. It would be cool to own a Doppler radar system. Wouldn't you think so, Colonel?
I would think so.
Oh, absolutely.
You'd probably get
be
an
able
app
to
for
check
that,
for.
But,
yeah. All right.
You could check for Santa Claus 365 days a year, Timmy.
Well. Little is known about Paul's early life, other than his father's habit of punishing him as a child by making him stay home from Saturday matinees at the local movie theater and listen to opera on the radio instead.
Oh my God,
that's just cruel.
That is fucked up.
I can see the trauma there.
Yeah, he'd be calling CPS on
that.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's see. So, but Bateson later said that appearing in The Exorcist was revenge against his father for this punishment. Jesus, suffering Christ. You know, there were people that were really abused. I'm sorry.
I mean, it is abuse. I mean, listen to op.
Well, I mean, but still, how is that something that, like, would change your life? To be like, yeah, now I'm just going to kill people. Like, you can point to that moment and say,
well, he might not have been listening to paparazzi. There. I mean, could have been listening to, you know.
Whatever.
It was bad opera.
Well, after finishing school, he joined the army in the early 1960s and was stationed in Germany, where he began drinking to relieve his boredom. As we all do.
That's what I do. Yeah.
In 1964, He moved to New York City, where he began a relationship with a man that was marked by heavy drinking and frequent parties at the couple's home. In 1969, Bateson's mother died from a stroke, and his younger brother committed suicide. Bateson trained as a neurological radio...
At the same time?
1969. So I think just within that year.
Okay.
So Bateson...
There would have been something if it all happened at once.
It would be crazy.
Like, she stroked out, and then he, like, hanged himself.
Yeah, I don't know. Doesn't say that. There's no indication that it happened the same day.
That'd be a lot of drama happening.
That would, but at least you get it all over with. All right, so Bateson trained as a radiological technician and began working at that capacity. In 1973, his relationship with his boyfriend ended, and he moved to Brooklyn while working at the New York University Medical Center, the NYUMC, if you will.
I have the T-shirt.
I bet you do. In late 1972, film director William Friedkin visited...
I go to all their home football games.
I know. Yes. So this guy visited the New York University Medical Center while he was preparing to make The Exorcist. He wanted to view some medical procedures since he was considering showing some...
NYMC.
Yes. He was considering showing some medical procedures in the film and looking for some staff to be extras. Dr. Barton Lane invited the director to watch a cerebral angiography. At the time, this procedure was performed by puncturing the patient's carotid artery in the front of the neck in order to insert a catheter through which a contrast agent was injected in order to make the patient's blood vessels more visible under X-rays. In the meantime, between the time when you actually...
I thought he meant like he was going to poop from his neck or something. That would have been wild.
I don't know why you would think that was ever going to be a sentence that I said. So, well, I don't understand.
I mean, because, you know, you think of catheters, you think of...
Nope, you know, I don't. In it. I don't, but yeah. Did Chuck fall asleep or die?
I'm just sitting here enthralled by your...
All right.
Mangling of this script.
You fuck off. So, in the moments between...
I mean, Timmy, it's kind of like... it's kind of like listening to Carrot Top read Shakespeare.
Oh, fuck off. You wish. All right, so...
What happens when Carrot Top... That was a good one, Timmy. What happens when Carrot Top's hair turns gray? Yeah. That changes... Name?
It will never turn gray. He'll always dye it red.
I bet it falls out.
Maybe, but I don't care. I just,
you know, I saw him on Howard Stern one time, and he frequented the brothels in.
Have you seen him? He had to. Dude was a freak show.
Apparently, his big thing was, you know, ejaculating in the lady's face. That was his big thing. So, there's a picture for you, Brandy.
I don't understand why that would be information you'd retain, but okay. All right.
I'd like to educate our listeners.
So, in between the moment that the arterial puncture and the insertion of the catheter, blood's pumping out of this, you know, puncture. In rhythm.
I mean, imagine on most of his dates, you hear a woman scream, "Watch the hair, Colonel!"
Oh my God!
Wouldn't you?
Why are we? This doesn't need further discussion, and I can't stress that enough.
You need, and this is just, you know, we would like another perspective. Mm. Do you bring a warm, moist towel out before that happens to me? Is that customary?
Well, I mean, I think we have to ask. Brandy, I mean, Brandy.
The fuck you ask me for? Do not fucking ask me that shit. I mean, absolutely.
Do they just stagger
not.
Around like a drunken pirate?
I cannot.
You know stuff's got to get in their eyes, and they're just staggering around.
I thought, imagine.
A woman of your experience ooh. Would know a little bit about bukkake. You know?
Shut up. I can't. So anyway, so blood's pumping out of the neck there for a minute. in the with the rhythm of the heartbeat. Friedkin was sufficiently impressed that he told Lane that he wanted to depict the procedure in his film, and he wanted Lane to be the one performing it on camera along with Bateson. A few months later, Friedkin and his crew returned to shoot the scene in which the character of Regan, played by Linda Blair, is examined medically to see if any of the strange behaviors she's been exhibiting can be scientifically explained. In the scene, it is Bateson who speaks most of the dialogue, demonstrating the calming bedside manner that he had used with many actual child patients. He can be seen in the background early as Regan is wheeled into the room, helping her put on the helping her onto the table and attaching wires to her shoulders. As the film shows Regan's face in tight close-up, alternating with takes of the procedure being finished, including her blood spurting into the air and staining her surgical gown. Bateson's,
man, that Linda Blair really went all in.
She really did. She's method. She's very method actor,
well,
even back then.
You know, she was in that movie. Wasn't she in that movie where they, Colonel, you know what I'm talking about, with the girls.
Women's prison.
Yeah, yeah.
Girls in prison. She was, Timmy. She was
assaulted, I believe, with a baseball bat or something like that. It was a baseball bat. Yeah, broom handle.
Louisville Saga.
Wow. Yeah. Thanks for that.
Ted Williams model.
Anyway, as the film shows Regan's face in tight close-up, alternating with takes of the procedure being finished, including her blood spurting into the air and staining her surgical gown, Bateson's voice is heard off-camera instructing her, warning her that the carotid puncture will hurt and reassuring her as she winces immediately afterward. Upon The Exorcist release to the theaters, medical professionals praised it as a realistic depiction of the procedure, and today it is now of a special historical interest since the procedure is no longer performed with a carotid puncture. So.
Interesting side note.
Yes.
Have you seen, I think we can agree that this is a classic, Apocalypse Now?
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's classic.
You haven't seen that?
No.
Are you even American? Are you even...
I don't like war movies. I don't.
Do you notice where Charlie Sheen, or not Charlie Sheen, Martin Sheen smashes the mirror and watches his hand bleed?
Yeah.
That was, he did that in real life. That was just an ad-lib thing that he did. And he sat and just watched. He had a heart attack while filming that. It was so intense.
Hmm.
How does that fucking relate?
He had an addiction problem.
How does that fucking relate to The Exorcist? Oh, wait, it doesn't. So let's just, we're going to go ahead and get back to it.
This is a little side.
It's a fucking stupid. It's just fucking bullshit.
That.
That's all it was. So.
Yeah, you will.
Are you both ready?
Then he went on to become President Bartlett.
He did, and he is my favorite.
Yeah.
Around the time The Exorcist was released, Bateson's drinking increased. It began to affect his job performance, and in 1975, NYUMC let him go. Bateson sustained himself with odd jobs in Greenwich Village and taking tickets at a porno theater. He also went to...
Well, it's honest work.
Yeah. He also went to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings where he socialized with other recovering alcoholic gay men and was hoping to start another long-term relationship. So he's going to hook up at an AA meeting.
Yeah, he's going to.
Seems healthy.
It's not a good idea to go to AA meetings to hook up.
Yeah. So by 19.
Now, sex addicts. Where you go to Sexual Addicts
Anonymous.
That is a nice place to meet women.
Yeah. Also down at the Colonel, down at the free clinic when they're given, you know, their antibiotics.
Penicillin shots. You know,
chlamydia pills?
Yeah, penicillin.
Yeah, but you want to wait about 4 days. I mean, get that number and call them in about a week.
All right. Okay. It's good advice, Colonel.
But, you know, if you go to the Sex Anonymous thing and you just say, hey, you know, would you like to have coffee afterwards, that means something entirely.
It's code, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably not, though. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So by 77, Bateson has begun drinking again more heavily. He said later that he was drinking at least a quart of vodka a day. on September 14th.
Well, I think that's what you would call a lightweight, wouldn't it be, Devil?
That's called breakfast.
That's what she calls breakfast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
On September...
Sounds like he's not even trying. Well,
it really... He's a fucking quitter. On September 14th, 1977, Addison Verrill, a reporter who covered the film industry for Variety, was found dead in his Horatio Street apartment. He'd been beaten and stabbed. There were some signs of a struggle. However, nothing had been taken beyond cash, a credit card, and some clothes. There was no evidence of forced entry. The police learned that Verrill had been at the mine shaft, a popular leather bar, until 6 a.m. Aw.
Well, what's the name of it? What's the name of the bar?
The Mine
Shaft. The Mine Shaft. Oh, see,
those gay bars have the best names.
They do. That's hilarious. All right, so he was...
The one in Cincinnati was the manhole?
Yes. But he was... So this guy was at this bar, this leather bar, until 6 a.m., and he was talking to other patrons. Police believe that Verrill had likely let his killer into the apartment. There were several empty beer cans and half-full liquor glasses at the scene. Gay activist and journalist Arthur Bell, a friend of Verrill's, wrote an article about the case in the Village Voice, setting it against the larger issue of how murders of gay men, several of which occurred yearly in the village, were rarely taken seriously by police or reported in the media.
See, Brandy, the manhole, it was a double entendre.
Did you have to look that up before you told me that?
Explain that to her.
Did you have to look that up?
Colonel, can you explain to her what a double entendre is?
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
No. Dumb this down real quick.
Oh, yeah, because he doesn't understand it either, so let's just settle the fuck down.
A double entendre means that you say one thing, but there is a nuanced, makes your mind go to another place.
Okay.
You say one thing, it's like chocolate, you know, there could be a double entendre for chocolate or sugar or premature ejaculation.
Sure. Anyway, so Bell ended his...
We're anti-premature ejaculation because, you know... I figure it's not a medical condition. It's more, it helps me to get to the sports center quicker. That's the way I look at it.
Well, and I think a lot of our women listeners are very pro premature ejaculation.
Yeah, because we got shit to do.
Because they like to get to Sports Center, or they like to get to the Martha Ray show or whatever.
The View.
So they can learn how to make a good meatloaf for, for Monday.
Please stop. So, Bell ended his article by giving the phone number of the New York Police Department's Homicide Bureau and asking anyone with information to call them. However, 8 days after the killing...
I mean, it sure beats post... post-mature ejaculation.
Okay.
Yeah, you might be there for days.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Takes right. You got to get aircraft lube, Timmy, so you don't blister stuff up.
Oh, I know. I mean, I'm sitting there playing on my phone, flipping through.
Candy Crush.
Yeah, flipping through TikTok.
What are you fucking even talking about?
Reading War and Peace.
Yeah.
Can we talk about this guy?
A tantric.
We're here to not talk about your weird whatever. Let's talk about this guy.
Well, I mean, let's say you're in a situation.
I don't want to say any of that. I'm not saying it.
Reverse cowgirl action going on.
I don't understand what's happening.
So why not get out your phone and update your social media and all that?
Well, exactly. Check your contacts, delete the old ones.
Well, you know what?
You know, just say,
and I'm sure.
I like the multitask.
I'm sure the women in your life appreciate hearing all of this. So, way to go, guys. I'm just going to go ahead and keep reading. Anyway, 8 days after the killing, someone called Vril, claiming to be the killer. Apparently, to correct Bell's assumption that the killer was a psychopath who targeted gays. The caller said, "I like your story and I like your writing, but I'm not a psychopath." In a story that later ran on the Voices front page, I don't know.
I'm not a psychopath.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, yeah, he didn't.
Because.
He didn't like the adjective. I can understand that.
Is it pejorative?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, in the story that later ran on the Voices front page, the caller recounted the events of the night that ended in Vril's murder. "I'm gay, and I needed money, and I'm an alcoholic," he said. After 3 months of sobriety...
I'm no psychopath.
Right. After 3 months of sobriety, he claimed, he had gone out to Badlands, a bar, in the early hours of September 14th, where Vril, whom he did not know, offered to buy him a beer. That beer became several, with the two consuming poppers and cocaine in addition to the drinks. That's when the party starts. At 3 a.m., they left Badlands and went to the mineshaft, where they continued their alcohol and drug consumption. After 2 hours, they took a taxi to Vril's apartment. There, the two had more alcohol and cocaine, followed by sexy time.
Let this be a lesson to all of our listeners out there who may be serial killers. Don't mix drugs and alcohol with your murdering. Don't mix.
Don't shit where you eat.
No, they don't.
Exactly.
There you go. All right. So, let's see. They have the sexy time. The caller said that afterwards he realized that was as far as Vril had wanted the relationship to go. So Vril was like all into this is a one night stand, and he was ready to roll, and what's his butt, whoever the caller is, wanted more. And he said, "I needed money and I hated the rejection. So still intoxicated, I tried to do something I'd never done before." After incapacitating Vril with a frying pan from his kitchen, the caller recounted he stabbed the journalist with a knife. So he hit him with a frying pan from his kitchen. Talk about using the tools at your disposal. So after he killed him, this fucker, after he killed him, he took his cash, which was $57. Jesus. Vril's credit card and some clothes. When Bell contacted police about the call, they told him that it seemed like the first solid lead in the case. The caller had known about the stolen credit card, and that was a detail that the police had not made public yet.
Did he know about the $57?
Clearly they did know about the $57. It was just the credit card, is what this says. So, detectives...
$57 went a long way back in the 70s.
Well, maybe, but Jesus Christ, you kill some guy for 57 bucks?
I fed a family of 12 for 6 months, $57 back in the 70s.
Did you give to Sue? Did you give to Sally Struthers?
Yeah.
There you go.
That was before she was on Family. What was the name of the show?
All in the Family.
All in the Family. Yeah. You know, Colonel, did you ever think Edith was hot? She was kind of hot in her day.
Y'all have seen the picture of Edith Bunker fucking leathered out, right? With Alice Cooper. Yeah, so I'm sorry. She's badass.
Nine tails.
Give me a wee bit of a boner, yeah.
All right. So.
I'd say it took me to seven.
Detectives suspected that the caller would call Bell again and went to his apartment to wait with him. At 11 p.m., his phone rang. It was not the original caller, but a man who identified himself as Mitch. Jesus. Mitch. He told Bell the killer was Paul Bateson, who he had gotten to know while the two were drying out in a hospital a few months earlier. He said Bateson was an unemployed x-ray technician and that he had called him earlier and confessed to the crime. Police arrested Bateson.
Never confess.
I know.
You people can't be trusted.
Who people?
Well, anyone. If you're a serial killer, keep that shit to yourself.
I know, but you know, a lot of times they want to make sure they get credit. So, all right, let's see.
There's nothing worse than a blabby serial killer.
There really isn't.
You know, you're sitting at a bar and you're talking about your old, you know, glory days. And then this guy's like, oh, yeah, you know, one time a couple years ago, I chopped up two people and, you know.
Yeah,
and
you're like, it's not the same, right?
You know, we was just talking about baseball. I mean, we was, yeah.
Well, who was the guy? Who was the guy that, like, confessed to all kinds of fucking shit? And
Henry Lee Lucas.
Yes. Just
like 458 murders.
Just a confessing motherfucker. Just
every cop in every state was calling, trying to close case. Hey, Henry, did you do this?
Oh yeah,
I did that one.
Yeah. Guy with an IQ of a piece of paper. All right, let's see. So police arrested Bateson at his East 12th Street apartment, and when he was asked if he knew why he was being arrested, He pointed to an open copy of The Voice with Bell's article and indicated that that was probably why. Bateson eventually gave police a handwritten confession that was consistent with what he had told Bell. Jesus.
Okay, so now he's putting it on paper.
Right. You can't go, no take backs.
No take backs.
Bell was charged with second degree murder and detained while awaiting trial. Arthur Bell.
I'm no lawyer, but here's what you don't want to do. Is in the police station, write down how you killed
the person. Right.
Makes your defense much more difficult.
It does.
Unless you give them all wrong information, and they just think you're a nut that's confessing to all these things.
Yeah, but then maybe you get put in, you know, Shady Pines, and you get to just live out the rest of your days in peace and tranquility.
You know, I'm all for that. I wouldn't mind being institutionalized about right now.
I'm sure we could arrange that at this point for you without much of an issue. We had to talk to Leanne. But anyway, so he's charged with second degree murder.
They give you little cups of jelly every day.
That's true. You can have pudding too.
Yeah.
I mean,
Not a bad gig.
Not a bad gig at all. And you get to wear your pajamas all the time.
You know, and those old people fuck a lot in those places.
Well, I was just talking about going to a. I was just talking
along,
about going
they got
to a fucking.
STDs running through that place.
I was talking about going to a fucking asylum, but okay.
I'm talking about
well,
a nursing home.
Well, that happens too. Nursing homes, you're more likely to get chlamydia than COVID in those places now.
Yeah, well.
You know, it's just a mess. Those old people got time on their hands, Viagra,
Well, but the thing is, you know, those old women.
You know who will do good there? I mean, you know who will do good there in a few years?
Who's that?
Carrot Top. He will be shooting his seed and those old women's hair and their face.
Oh, my God.
Well, and it's good for your skin. They
maybe the
Botox.
Nurses. I mean, you know.
Stop.
Here's
it.
The thing. Ever since Viagra came along, motherfuckers STNAs. Ain't getting their sweaters for Christmas no more from their granny.
Yeah.
You know, little kids used
I'm
to always
sure
get sweaters.
A,
but now,
I'm
granny's
sure
doing
whips.
Reverse cowgirl with Earl four doors up.
What the fuck?
And she ain't crocheting like she used to. I need a goddamn afghan.
You know, I need to go on
what?
Pornhub, and do a search for mature and bukkake and see if there's some old people out there.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure they are.
Okay. All right.
But you know, you have to wear
goggles.
Stop. Would be a good thing to wear.
yeah, it seems like
so,
a...
jail.
Yeah.
So, Arthur
right
Bell.
Right.
Shish.
Shoot
shish,
right
shish.
In.
Arthur Bell.
Bounce right off.
Arthur Bell that's interviewed Bateson.
You're getting a ricochet, Colonel. That's not good.
No, okay.
No.
Arthur
you're
Bell.
A man. You want, you
God
want,
damn it.
You want.
What?
You want to make sure. You know, it's physics, right? And you want to make sure that when you ejaculate, it's not going to bounce off something hard and come right back at you.
Okay.
So be
you know
careful
what?
Out there, guys.
Yeah, I'm going to need you to put...
Bukkake
can we just put a pin in that? Awesome. Can we put a pin in that thought? I'm going to put a pin. Boop.
I'm okay with it.
Right
you
there.
Got, I don't know if... Boop. I'm not sure if...
It's pinned. Yeah, it's pinned. So, Arthur Bell interviewed Bateson about a month later after he was detained. Jail, he said, was helping him to get sober. And his biggest regret...
It's hard to get out of carpet, I can tell you that.
Okay, and his biggest regret about being in custody was missing the new season of the ballet. In pretrial motions, Bateson, through his attorney, attempted to have his confession suppressed. He argued that he'd been drunk at the time.
So he didn't like the opera, but he don't want to miss the ballet.
Right.
Does that make sense, Colonel?
No, it doesn't at all. Timmy, I just, for research purposes, there's one that's called Granny Wants All the Goo.
Granny Wants All the Goo.
Oh, my God.
That sounds like a wholesome
okay.
movie.
Mm-hmm. And again, we're going to...
Granny Wants All the Goo.
Going to put a pin in it.
Pin. Come on, Brandy. You and your nope. economics professor. I mean,
we're not doing this. Absolutely fucking not. Absolutely fucking not today, Satan. We're gonna get through this shit, and then
all right.
So he's charged. And he's saying that you know they can't use the confession because he was drunk at the time. Police hadn't read him his rights. He also denied having made the phone call to Bell. Claiming that his purported confession was just based on what he'd read about the case in The Voice.
You think when he signed that confession that he should have thought about missing the upcoming ballet season?
You would have thought.
I mean, yeah.
He just wasn't thinking straight. Bateson.
They don't often have, I mean, they got a lot of activities in prison, but I don't think they got ballet.
They don't. Bateson went on trial in early 1979. The state entered both his confession and Bell's Voice article into evidence against him. Bateson was convicted after 4 days on March 5th, 1979. At Bateson's...
Wait a minute. They got a confession. It took him 4 days to find him guilty?
Yeah. Right.
He was a stutterer, Timmy.
Took a minute.
Christ.
Well, at Bateson's sentencing a month later, prosecutor William Hoyt called him a psychopath. And reiterated his belief.
Those jurors just wanted to get out of work.
Well, they were getting free lunch. So he reiterated his belief that Bateson was responsible for 6 unsolved murders. While Hoyt admitted there was no direct proof of this, he said that Bateson had confessed to those crimes in a conversation with Richard Ryan. Speaking for himself, Bateson denied any role in the other murders, of course. At the time of Bateson's arrest, police had also begun...
He was being coy.
He was. Yeah. At the time of Bateson's arrest, police had also been investigating a series of murders of gay men over the previous 2 years, which they believe were committed by the same people due to similarities in the killing's modus operandi.
M.O.
Yes.
The big M.O.
6 corpses of men had been found dismembered in bags floating in the Hudson River. Since the bags reportedly had wording on them connecting them to NYUMC's neuropsychiatric unit, and the dismemberment of the bodies appeared to have been done by someone skilled in using a knife, investigators began to suggest publicly that Bateson might be a suspect in those killings.
See, here's the thing. If you work in the medical field and you decide to start killing people, you know, you have to kind of hatch it up. You can't make dissect them.
Right.
You got to go against the skin and the bone. I mean, you can't just do it surgically.
Right.
Because it's going to indict you.
That's true. So, let's see. Those killings were the subject of another interview Bateson gave, although it would not be made public until 2012. Surprised that the Bateson he recalled could have been accused of murder, William Friedkin came to Rikers to talk with him. Friedkin said Bateson admitted killing Viral. Bateson said that the prosecutors were offering him a deal whereby if he confessed to the bag murders, he would receive a shortened sentence. In a 2018 Esquire article about Bateson, writer Matt Miller was unable to find what that evidence might have been, as the New York County Clerk of Court's office could not find a copy of the trial transcript. Oh, convenient. But nothing Miller had been able to review mentioned either the bags purportedly being traced to NYUMC or any mention of a deal offered to Bateson if he confessed to the other murders. Justice Morris Goldman sentenced Bateson to 20 years to life in prison. He ultimately found the connection to the other murders too ephemeral, to merit any consideration in sentencing Bateson. Bateson ultimately served 24 years and 3 months. On the day after his 63rd birthday in August 2003, he was released from Arthur Kill Correctional Facility in Staten Island. That could have been named differently. According to records kept by the state, his parole was successfully completed in November 2008, and that is the last public record of Bateson. A record in the social...
How do you let that guy out? I mean, how do you let someone out?
Because people are just stupid.
Put him in fucking bags.
Right.
Well, maybe he was rehabilitated.
Yeah, well.
I wonder if they showed Exorcist at in prison at on movie night.
I bet they did, and he was like, "Ooh, that's me."
He probably signed autographs.
That's right. So a record in the Social Security Death Index shows that a Paul F. Bateson with the same birthday and Social Security number issued in Pennsylvania died on September 5th, 2012. So he died a free man. Fucker.
That's fucked up.
It is fucked up. It's always fucked up.
Yeah.
So that is the story of Paul Bateson, the Exorcist killer. Thank you very much.
That's pretty interesting, Timmy.
Well, it was from Jason Bates. I mean, Jason Bates.
Wow.
Jason Dykes.
Jason Bates would be so much better.
I know.
Bateman.
So, Jason, thank you. And Jason will be at WeebCon signing boobies with his... I don't know if he's using a felt marker or not, Colonel. He might be going old school and signing it with ink.
Oh, good Lord.
With one of those feather pens,
he's
going to
get a Bic.
With one of those quills. One of those quills.
He might be using a quill.
He might be.
Oh, my God. All right.
So, Jason, thank you.
Do we have
Randy, what's your final thoughts on The Exorcist?
My final thoughts are that you two are dipshits and that that guy was an asshole who should have never been free. I don't know what that was, but that was ridiculous.
Colonel, that's what Linda Blair said in the thing. Can you tell us on the record?
Your mother sucks cocks in hell.
Can you tell us on the record, Brandy, whether or not you're pro-Bukkake or not?
Oh, my God. We're going to put a pin in that again.
Well, I mean, just give us an opinion. You don't have to go into details. Gross.
I'm not going to kink shame anyone, but it's gross.
Well, would you tell use one of those hair devil? Nets if you ever partake in
that? I will cap. Not ever, yeah. So it's no big deal.
What? Have you ever fallen for a devil? It's good for your skin.
Nope.
Have you ever fallen for, but I'm going off to war in the morning?
No.
Well, Colonel, are you pro Bukkake, Colonel?
I personally, unless people are wearing proper safety gear, then I'm okay with it. But, you know, I don't want to put somebody's eye out, Timmy.
I
don't
want
to do that.
I hear you. There's risk involved. That's for sure.
Oh, it's not without its dangers, Timmy.
Oh, yeah. My God.
And I don't want to be the. Make sure you cover your hair because, you know, they get pissed off sometimes. If they just washed their hair, Colonel.
Stop.
Well, you know, one of the chapters in my book, to me, is a way to is guaranteed to make women scream.
I've got to make
when you have sex,
chicken
Timmy.
Fries. Can we get on with this?
And when you get done, Timmy, what you do is you wipe your dick on the curtains.
Damn it.
They will scream every time, Timmy.
Damn it.
Well, I guess it depends on whose curtains it is. I mean, if it's your own.
I guess it is. Yeah.
They shouldn't care.
Damn it.
I mean, if it's a Motel 6, they shouldn't care.
Yeah.
Wow. Just.
Don't get it on the carpet either, Colonel, because, I mean, you know, you'll be down. You'll be, you know, vacuuming that thing up and shampooing it.
Well, it's hard to. I believe it's hard to vacuum mango, Timmy.
It is.
I think that's something that you need to steam it for.
You got to get a wet dry vac for that.
And then it floats around when it gets, when it gets sucked up in the little bowl. Still floating around the top real good. You can see it. It's hard to... It's just a messy thing.
Oh, my God.
Really, that's why you have the latex sheets.
Latex sheets.
You get latex. Yeah. Rubber sheets, Timmy.
They were, form-fitting, too.
God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Brandy, I guess it's not going to work out for you and Carrot Top, I guess.
Yeah, I guess not. That was... I mean...
Well, you know what's funny
since it was
is,
never really on the
you,
table...
speaking of Sharpies, Timmy, I think if you're going to do that, what you do is get yourself a Sharpie and draw like a bunch of little bullseyes on the forehead.
That'd be practice.
And that way you got something to aim for. Yeah.
Yeah.
He does not have enough money.
Now, Randy, a woman who loves her man, you know what she'll do after you've made love? She will go get a hot towel and... Mm-hmm. And clean her lover off, Brandy. Do you do that for Dave?
I can't even with you people
or
today.
Run them a warm bath.
Oh, my God.
It's even better.
I'm just trying to go to sleep.
And then come in and scrub them thoroughly, Timmy.
Because, Brandy, you know, it's the least you can do after you've been pleasured. That's really the least.
First of all, I... Oh, my God. I have to go make chicken fries before Noah starves to death.
All right, Colonel, what's your final thought on the Exorcist killer, Paul Bates?
I think it was a little rude to call him a psychopath, Timmy. I did just think he was just your average run-of-the-mill nut job.
Okay. All right. So, thank you. We want to thank everyone who supports us on Patreon. If you support us on Patreon... If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydeebs where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or a kernel.
Or just a wee little bit to me.
Okay, I want to run through the names of those who support us because it's very kind of them, and we really do appreciate it. It keeps the show going. So thank you, Elizabeth Lawrence, Kim Purple, and Baby Sam. Stevie Smiles. Is it Stevie Smiles? Stevie Smiles, I believe.
Smile! smile.
No.
Won't you smile, Emily, smile with me?
Emily, sweetie. Our good friend Alan Cox, Aaron Moeller. I'm screwing these names up, and I do apologize. Rachel Goss, Anna Kaufman, Shelby, Robert, Gina Green. Thank you, Gina. Andrea, Louise Sinens, Tessie Alcrone Poor. I'm not used to reading these names, so
bear with me.
Buffy, Danelle, Mary Ann Knight, our good friend Nina with the Already Gone podcast. Nina has a bit of the COVID, so we hope that she is feeling better real soon.
She got the cooties, Timmy.
Yeah. She actually lost her sense of taste, so she may have enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, if everybody lost their sense of taste, we'd have a much bigger audience, Timmy.
We really would. Amber Anderson, our good friend Ben in Colorado. Tara with the Bloody Murder podcast. Bridget Pinard. Casey Kitchens. Thank you, Casey. Kelly Jones. We haven't heard from Kelly
for a
while.
Cassie Kitchens.
It is Cassie.
Yeah, Casey Kitchens.
Kelly Jones. Fuck.
Kelly Jones. Christy Lee in the Canadian True Crime podcast. Carl. Cheryl LeBlanc. Our good friend Clark and Diane Trowbridge. Clark just had a birthday. It's his birthday weekend. Birthday month. We celebrate the whole month with Clark. Clark, happy birthday, and we look forward to seeing you at DweebCon, as always. He's always there, him and Diane, faithful listeners, and we really appreciate their support. Erica Kenny, our good friend Erica Kenny, Aaron Turner, Marcia Boris, J. Cleveland Payne, Colonel, good, very good guy, Jamie Dent, mm-hmm. who has just, I believe she just got a certificate to work with people who are having psychological emergencies. So,
well, she's going to be busy at DweebCon.
Is she really will be. Hiro.
Have her own booth.
Hiro, our good friend Jason Dykes, who wrote this episode again. Thank you, Jason. Jeff and Don Chestnuts, our dear friends. Jennifer Arcot, Jennifer Sobota, Jess. Kelly Charette, Kim Strope, and Christine Malachinsky, Laura Riley, Mary Courtney Sheldon, our good friend and the Colonel's next wife, Michelle Johns, Paula Kimes, Sarah Bloom, Sue Van Hook, Shannon Arnold, Shirley Strapp, our good friend Shirley. Shirley, we're thinking about you. We'd love to hear from you. Stephen Potts from Down Under. Terry Strafford, our good friend Terry, who just recently had a birthday as well. Hope we can see
Malachi.
We hope we get to see Terry at the DweebCon again this year. Our good friends Ben and Rosanna from They Walk Among Us. Tyrone. Good buddy Todd Long. Tommy Lane out there in Hawaii. We hope Tommy can join us again this year. She's a lot of fun. And our good friend Tracy Smith. So if I screwed up any of your names, I apologize because I'm not used to reading these. And Brandy, I don't know if you noticed or not, but sometimes I don't pronounce things well.
Yeah.
You probably never noticed.
No, I mean, you cover it. You cover it really well.
Well, so we would like to thank all of you for supporting us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historygreaves. That's all one word, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or just a wee little bit. Now, I missed anyone, we will be sure to mention you next time. Any final thoughts, Colonel and Brandy?
No.
I'm bereft of thoughts, Timmy. I'm thoughtless.
I'm going to go in and watch some bukkake porn.
Wow.
So, mature bukkake.
Mature bukkake.
Old folks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bukkake.
Yeah.
Keep it to yourself.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Good day. Bye-bye.